The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th Canto, Chapter Number 11, Texts Number 27 and 28, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on July 1st, 2011, in Melbourne, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Shanaka Uvacha. Shuka Yat Aha Bhagavan Vishnurataya Shrinvate Saura Ganaha Masi Masi Nana Vasati Saptaka Tesham Namami Namani Karmani Niyuktanam Adishvarai Bruhi Na Shadadananam Vyuham Surya Atmanaha Hare Sri Shanaka Uvacha. Shuko Yad Aha Bhagavan Vishnu Rataya Shrinvate Sarogano Masi Masi Nana Vasati Saptaka Teshang Namani Karmani Niyuktanam Adishvarai Bruhinashra Dadananam Vyuhang Suryatmanohare Sri Shanaka Uvacha. Sri Shanaka said, Shukaha Sukadev Goswami, yet which Aha described Bhagavan, the great sage, Vishnurataya, to King Parikshit, Shrinvate, who was listening, Sara, of the sun god, Ganaha, the associates, Masi Masi, in each month, Nana, various, Vasati, who reside, Saptaka, the group of seven, Tesham, of them, Namani, the names, Karmani, the activities, Niyuktanam, who are engaged, Adishvarai, by the various features of the sun god, who are their controllers, Bruhi, please speak, Na, to us, Shadadananam, who are faithful, Vyuham, the personal expansions, Surya Atmana, in his personal expansion, as the sun god, Hare, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Hari. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada, by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Sri Shanaka said, please describe to us who have great faith in your words, the different sets of seven personal features and associates the sun god exhibits during each month, along with their names and activities. The associates of the sun god who serve their Lord are personal expansions of the Supreme Personality of God at Hari in his features as the presiding deity of the sun. After hearing an account of the exalted conversation between Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Pariksit, Shonaka now inquires about the sun as the expansion of the Supreme Lord. Although the sun is the king of all planets, Sri Shonaka is specifically interested in this effulgent globe as the expansion of Sri Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The personalities related with the sun are of seven categories. In the course of the sun's orbit, there are 12 months, and in each month, a different sun god and a different set of his six associates preside. In each of the 12 months beginning from the Vaishakha, there are different names for the sun god himself, the sage, the yaksha, the gandharva, the apsara, the rakshasa, and the naga, making a total of seven categories. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ranganitam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivashakanvitamsha. So just imagine 5,000 years ago in the forest of Naimisharanya. If we could travel through a time machine and actually be there when this was being spoken, just imagine the atmosphere with all these sages in a great holy place. What an amazing atmosphere it must have been. And how much all these sages, how much they were leaning and hearing every syllable of every single word that was being spoken. And so if we try to tune in to the mood, the feeling, the emotions of this sacred conversation that took place 5,000 years ago, that will help us to understand what kind of mood we should be in while hearing this sacred conversation. In other words, the quality of your hearing will make you or break you in Krishna consciousness. If you've actually mastered the art of submissively hearing, as these great sages were doing, then quickly you will regain your original saintly sage nature. Hearing is the most important sense. It all begins with hearing. When you wake up in the morning, by what sense you're waking up, your alarm clock, by hearing your alarm clock, you wake up in the morning. So the most important thing you can do is learn how to hear properly, you see. This proper hearing is the key. And this verse is giving its hint. Shadadananam, you see. Faithful. Those who are faithful. By faithful hearing, this principle of faith is, the translation, please describe to us who have great faith in your words. Sometimes people come before the spiritual master. They don't come with great faith. They come to try to defeat the spiritual master. Try to show, become one up on the spiritual master. Yes, I will defeat him. I will show that I have superior intelligence. You see, they don't hear faithfully. Such persons don't advance spiritually by hearing from the bona fide spiritual master. But those who actually hear faithfully, you see, as confirmed in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6:23, Yasya Deve Para Bhaktir Tata Deve Tata Goro Tasyaite Ketita Hirata Prakashante Mahatmanaha. Only unto those great souls who have unflinching faith in the words of the spiritual master and in the words of Lord Krishna are the imports of Vedic knowledge revealed. So, is it worth it? One could ask. Is the Vedic knowledge really worth it? To put my faith in Guru and Krishna, what is the benefit of becoming realized in the Vedic knowledge? Is it worth it? Of course it's worth it. Because by becoming expert and not understanding the Vedic wisdom, then you can understand Krishna. Krishna says, by all the Vedas I am to be known. So if you have a very solid understanding of the Vedic wisdom, the benefit is you can understand Krishna. And Krishna is not just an ordinary person, nor is he an ordinary god, as there are many different gods of the wind, god of the sun, etc. Krishna is the supreme source of everything. Everything exists simply because Krishna desires for it to exist. Nothing exists independently of Krishna desiring its existence. So, to be able to understand Krishna then leads to the next step. If you understand him fully, then you can learn how to love him. And that's even more important than understanding him. To understand him properly, that's essential, but that's preliminary. You have to love him to perfect your relationship with him. It's not just some intellectual thing. Jnana means you understand, but vijnana means you put that knowledge into practice. If you want to be an expert chemist, you don't just attend the lecture section of the course, you go to the laboratory also and you actually mix the chemicals. You cannot be an expert chemist just by understanding the formulas, H2O equals water. When I was a kid in high school, we sat in the classroom and the teacher taught us, okay, students, H2O equals water. But then she took us down to the laboratory and each one of us did it in our own little test tubes. We took two parts hydrogen with one part oxygen, and lo and behold, what appeared in that test tube? Water. So you take the knowledge of Krishna consciousness and you apply that knowledge in the laboratory of devotional service. These activities we are doing, this is the laboratory. Whether it's cooking, cleaning, worshipping, so many services we're doing here. This is the laboratory of the science of bhakti. You study the science and then you apply the science. Relationships with devotees, that's also part of applying the science. When you put the science into practice and you do it according to the laboratory manual, the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam, when you actually follow the instructions given by the scriptures and by great realized acharyas and spiritual masters, when you actually follow what the great sages are saying, then you get an amazing result. What do you get? You get the awakening of your original divine consciousness. That consciousness that you once had before you fell into this material existence. That consciousness which is eternal, full of bliss, full of knowledge, full of unlimited loving feelings and emotions. That consciousness becomes revived and you're tasting the sweetest happiness. You see, Krishna consciousness. So if we actually apply the instructions that we're getting here from the Bhagavatam, we follow the example of the sages of Naimisharanya and we put great faith in the words that are being spoken. So you say, well, why should I put my faith in you? I mean, you're somebody from America. I mean, why would I put my faith in some American? No, I'm not saying put your faith in me. I'm not saying that. The message, you put your faith in the message. I'm just the messenger. If you can see that I'm honestly giving the message without tampering with it, then you should put faith in the message. I'm just a messenger, that's all. Put your faith in the message. That we have to do. If the messenger is honest, you see, then the message has the full potency of Krishna within it. If the messenger is dishonest, yeah, we don't put our faith in a dishonest minister. Well, I don't know if he's saying it's true or not. I remember when I first joined the movement, moved into the ashram there in Austin back in 71, and I had full faith in Prabhupada's words. But then we would sit in the classes, and I was very skeptical of anything that I heard that I hadn't read in the books. I was very skeptical. Well, I wonder if this is really true. I wonder if the devotee's speculating this, if it's really in the books or not. So I kind of, I wouldn't accept anything until I read it in the books, you see. But then by reading Prabhupada's books, I could see the devotees were actually preaching very nicely. They were giving, in the classes, they were preaching very nicely. And then the more I heard the classes, the more I read the books, the more my faith in the devotees preaching in the classes increased. And I could see, yeah, these devotees are giving really first-class classes, you see. So we want you to study these books very carefully, because Prabhupada is the greatest authority and the greatest Vaishnava Acharya for disseminating knowledge of the Absolute Truth. We want you to read these books very carefully. And then you can see how this knowledge is being spoken correctly and being applied within this movement. And that will increase your faith in participating or associating with the members of this movement. This movement is the practical application of the Vedic wisdom on this planet today. So by associating with this movement, associating with the devotees of this movement, you will actually get plugged into Krishna. You will get a direct connection with Krishna. You may say, what do you mean direct? We go through the parampara system, you know, this to my spiritual master, and then to his spiritual master, and to his spiritual master. How you can say direct? But Prabhupada points out in his purport in the Bhagavad Gita, it is simultaneously direct and indirect. Just like I'm directly talking to you right now, isn't it? But actually, I'm not. I'm creating a vibration with my voice, and it's affecting the airwaves. I'm affecting these airwaves right here, and they're affecting other airwaves, and it's just... So actually, it's indirect, even though I'm speaking to you right now. It's through the medium of these airwaves, vibrations, traveling through the ether. Actually, is a more accurate way of saying it. I'm creating some vibrations here, and then it, through the medium of the ether, it's being transmitted to your ears. And then the signals are going to your brain, and you're deciphering what all these vibrations mean, and you're making sense out of it. So actually, even though I'm speaking to you directly, it's indirectly through the vibrational, the vibrations traveling through the ether. You see? So it's even talking to you, it's simultaneously direct and indirect communication. So in the same way, we are directly connected with Krishna and indirectly connected with Krishna through the medium of the parampara system. Krishna wants us to approach him through his devotees. Why? Because he loves his devotees so much. He doesn't want his devotees to be left out. He loves his devotees more than he loves himself. Krishna loves his devotees so much. If you call him Krishna, that's nice. You call him Nanda Nandana, he becomes even more attracted. Oh, they've called me after my father's name. Oh, Krishna becomes more attracted, you see. You call him Radhika Raman. Oh, he's more attracted. So Krishna likes being called Krishna, but even more he likes it when you call these other names in relation to his devotees, because his devotees are so dear to him. So Krishna wants to see not how much you love him, but how much you love his devotees. That's what he wants to see. How much do you love his devotees? And then he sees, oh, this one's very good. He loves my devotees, you see. This is a very good devotee. I give him all blessings, all mercy, all realization of the highest truth, because he so much loves my devotees. You see? So how do you develop love for the devotees? Back to the same point again. Hear with faith. You open up your heart when the devotee speaks. You see, we studied this. We had a wonderful two-weekend seminar last weekend in Sydney on loving relationships between the devotees. And there are six types of ways the devotees exchange love. And one of them is the devotee reveals his heart to you when you open your heart up to hear the devotee reveal his heart to you. He is giving your love by speaking to you, and you are giving your love back by opening your heart to him as he speaks to you. This is a loving exchange. So this is what's happening here in the forest of Naimisharanya, you see. Shanaka is opening his heart on behalf of all this. He's speaking as a representative of all these sages. And he's requesting sutta. The sages are opening up their hearts so sutta can open his heart and bless them with transcendental knowledge, you see. So when we come to the Bhagavatam class, this we should be in the mood of the sages of Naimisharanya. And if we enter into this mood, and they had gathered together to perform a 1,000-year sacrifice. In other words, they were so inspired and enlivened to engage in this activity, they were willing to sit there for 1,000 years and hear the Bhagavatam, you see. Just, they were so enthralled, they were so enlivened, So stimulated and enthused, they could have gone on for 1,000 years hearing this narration, you see. This is called quality hearing. If we can hear qualitatively, then we can realize the complete truth. Who is the great acharya of hearing? That is Parikshit Maharaj. Simply by hearing, he became perfect in Krishna consciousness. The trouble is, we come to hear, but we're thinking, oh, I want to sleep. Or when will this be over? I want to eat. Of course, today you can't think that way. We're fasting. When will this be over so I can have my breakfast? No. We have to learn how to feast on this Shabda Brahma, you see. You can have a feast plate, but how many feast plates can you eat before you keel over, you see? But if we can learn how to feast on this Shabda Brahma, transcendental sound vibration, you see, we can take mountains and mountains unlimited. We can feast unlimitedly through our ears, you see. So this feasting is better than the stomach. The stomach has limited capacity, but the brain, the intelligence, the heart has an unlimited capacity to feast on transcendental sound vibrations. So on the one hand, we're learning how to honor prasadam very nicely. We should also learn how to honor the Bhagavatam very nicely by hearing, you see. Very faithful, enthusiastic hearing. And then we'll become qualified to speak. You see. What did Prabhupada say? He said, because I have Guru Maharaj marked me that this boy hears nicely. You know that story? There was a Prabhupada, you know, was, that time he was a Bhai Charan Day. He was a pharmaceutical businessman from Allahabad. He had a pharmacy, Prayag Pharmacy. He also did a wholesale business, traveling around and doing a wholesale business to other pharmacies. He had his own pharmaceutical factory. So he was tied up in those activities, but in his heart he was always meditating on Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Always meditating. I have met such a great saintly person. So, when the devotees came to Allahabad from the Gaudiya Math, he was very happy to receive them. He was very enthusiastically helping them with all his spare time. He was assisting in their preaching activities, helping them get donations, etc. But then an opportunity came that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was doing the Brajmandal Parikrama with a bit large number of followers, and they were, you know, every... You know, on the parikramas, so many lectures are being given on the parikramas. So in the evening, there'll be a lecture by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And, of course, in Vrindavan, at evening time is also darshan time. Because it's nice and cool, you can go to the temple, it's very refreshing in the evening. The heat of the day is gone. You can enjoy in the evening darshan, very refreshing and lively, and go to the temple. It's like in our Krishna Balaram Mandir. In the evening, it's very popular with the local people. People come all the way from Delhi. You see, it's very, that evening darshan is very popular. It's especially during Kartik. I mean, you can hardly squeeze in. It's so packed with people during Kartik. So anyway, it's the evening time, and you can go to the lecture or you can go for darshan. But you know, Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati Thakur, he speaks with very erudite English. This materialist, the materialistic demeanor cannot possibly stretch to the transcendental autocrat. In this way, he talks in big, big words, you see. Even we native English speakers, we have to get out our unabridged dictionary. Of course, now we have it in our computer. But it used to be like this. But I have the unabridged dictionary. I have a subscription to the unabridged dictionary online, so I can look up any big word I want. But anyway, we look up these, we have to get out our unabridged dictionary, whatever form it is, and look up these words just to see what Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati is talking about. And his disciples are mostly Bengali villagers, is it? So you can imagine where they would go during the lecture. They would all go for darshan. But there does, there'd be just a small handful there during to hear the actual lecture of Bhakti Siddhanta. A few sannyasis, leading sannyasis were there. And one pharmaceutical businessman from Allahabad named Abhay Charande. He was always faithfully sitting there. He said, I would understand or I would not understand. But still, I would go on hearing, you see. So, you know, in ISKCON, for Diksha, you get recommended by your local devotees. So same thing in Gaudiya Mutt. So they recommended, Guru Maharaj, there's this Abhay Charande from Allahabad, and we'd like to recommend him for initiation. He said, oh yes, the others go away, but he sits and hears, I will initiate him. Yes, you see. So he was noted, he was noticed. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati took note. This Abhay Charande is very eager to hear. You see. So Prabhupada said, because I have heard nicely, now I can speak nicely. So if you have a desire to become a powerful preacher, one who can revolutionize this planet on behalf of the great acharyas, you see, then you have to learn how to hear. If you simply come to a lecture so I can give my comment, you see. No. You have to learn how to hear, how to really take in deeply and become enlightened and educated more and more in this science. This is the key of how to advance very quickly in Krishna consciousness, by quality hearing. This is these sages are showing us here in this verse by their example, as represented by Shanaka. So we have a few minutes left. Are there any questions? Yes. What's the question?
He said that if somebody does not know Vedic scriptures or does not know about Prabhupada,
how can they have faith in him?
Yeah.
Well, someone who's brand new, how they can develop faith? They just walk in the door? That's what you're asking?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it's up to you, Prabhu. You have to be so full of love and so, as Prabhupada was, you have to see Prabhupada's example. How did he win the heart, the trust of those hippies at 22nd Avenue? How did he win their trust? We in the same way, you see, by his love, by his honesty, by his patience, by saintly qualities, and by speaking the absolute truth. Those are the two things. By saintly qualities and by speaking the absolute truth. I mean, I always give this example. If we took a survey in downtown Melbourne, on the sidewalk there, do you believe in God, sir? So many people say, oh yes, I believe in God. And we say, well, if I told you that God is a little blue cowherd boy, and he wears a peacock feather in his hair, and he wears a yellow silk dhoti standing in the bushes on the bank of the river Jamuna, in case you got in the moon, in these full moon night of the Sharad Sea, is in playing the fifth note on his flute to attract the Gurpi girls to come dance with him in the bushes, what would you say? You see that I call the police. There's a nut out here on the street. You see. So how did we put faith? We American boys and girls back there in the early days of ISKCON. How did we put faith in Prabhupada? Because he told us that God is a little blue cowherd boy, and he wears a peacock feather in his hair, a yellow dhoti, he plays the fifth note on his flute, standing on the bank of the Jamuna. Keshi God and the full moon night, the Sharad season, attract the gopi girls to leave their household duties and come dance with him in the woods. How did we ever accept it? You see? That was because Prabhupada, we never met somebody who was so full of love like Prabhupada, you know. He was so full of love, and everything he quoted was from scripture. He never gave us his own opinion. He always cited the Vedic references. We could see here's a person who's simply, honestly, purely representing the most amazing knowledge we ever had, and at the same time, he is a living embodiment of the scriptures. So if you really want to know, in a nutshell, how to convince people to put faith in you, you have to be a person Bhagavatam. There's the book Bhagavatam and the person Bhagavatam. You really want to convince them fully, completely, then you must become person Bhagavatam. You must become completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day, whether you're every thought, word, and deed in all times, places, and circumstances. Actually, Prabhupada said it very powerfully in his purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, the devotee of the Lord chants the holy name without any offense. He becomes Jagad Guru, and under his influence, the whole world will take up Krishna consciousness. So you really want to be able to convince people to put faith, then you have to just become a Shuddhanam chanter, completely offenseless chanter of the holy names. And then the whole world will put faith in you, Prabhu, and you can deliver the whole world. You can become Jagad Guru. That's what Prabhupada is saying. It's a very powerful statement. It's right there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Any devotee who becomes a pure chanter, it could be a brahmacharini, a householder, doesn't matter what ashram, it could be a sannyasi, a brahmachari, it could be a small boy, it doesn't matter. You see, anybody who is completely pure in their chanting, Prabhupada says they become Jagat Guru and they influence the whole world to take up Krishna consciousness. So it's according to the development of your purity, Prabhu. How much you have purified your heart. To that extent, Krishna will use you as a conduit through which his mercy flows. And when somebody gets zapped without mercy of Krishna's, they have realizations. And that's what happened to us when Prabhupada came. You see, we got zapped with Krishna's mercy. Prabhupada was a pure conduit of Krishna's mercy. And he zapped us. Prabhupada zapped us with that mercy of Krishna, and we had realizations. We had experiences in Prabhupada's presence, and in a physical presence, and in his vibrational presence by his teachings, by his books. We had transcendental experiences. And the more we had these, the more our faith grew. And the more our faith grew, the more we put our heart and soul into the process. And the more we did that, we had even more experiences, transcendental experiences. Well, I hope that answers your question. Thank you so much for asking a question. I appreciate it very much. Okay. Question or comment?
You want to tell us something about Bhaktivinoda Thakur?
He said first question, then comments.
No, what was the question?
He's asking you know something more about Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Did you come late? I gave a whole lecture about Bhaktivinoda in the beginning. Be on time, Prabhu. We had a whole thing with Jai Anilo Prema Dana, and I gave a whole talk about separation from the great acharyas. I think you came a little late. Yeah, you missed it. I'm not going to do it again. It's recorded here. You can hear the recording. Who has the recording? Whose machine is this? This machine right here? Who's the owner of this machine? Like at the airport, you know. Did you pack this? Maybe it's a bomb, I don't know. Anyway, whoever owns this little machine here, they have it recorded and you can listen to it. Any other questions? Everybody satisfied now? Yes?
Gurudev, you mentioned that Krishna is more pleased if he is called by names like Radhika Raman, Nandananda.
Yeah.
Then why don't we chant those names instead of...
Give up Hare Krishna mantra. Well, you know, when I said that, I figured somebody would ask this question, and you did it. You fulfilled my expectation. Well, we do this because this is how our acharyas have done it. You could say, well, why? Your question makes a lot of sense because Prabhupada has told us repeatedly that Krishna is more attractive in this way. So why do we do this? Because this is what Lord Chaitanya did, this is what our great acharyas have done, this is what they've told us that we should do. So when you follow it's a matter of faith. In other words, you can take one instruction out of context and then invent your own new style of bhakti, but will you think you'll get the results of pure bhakti by doing that? Well, I've seen this again and again. Like Prabhupada said, the Panchatattva mantra is more powerful than Hare Krishna because there's no offenses you can commit. So some devotees said, well, I'll just chant the Panchatattva mantra on japa. The same thing, you know. We have to... Don't take one statement out of context of all the other statements. Well, I'm just going to take this one thing and that's it. I'm going to do that one thing and ignore all the other things. You see? You have to actually take it as it is given by the great authorities. Take it, the package deal in full. This is the system. You do this, 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 and this. You can't customize your own new system of bhakti yoga. You see? Shruti smriti puranadi pancharatna viding vina aikantaki hirer bhaktir utpatta yaiva kaltate. Devotional service which is... rendered, which is not in accordance with the Shruti, the Smriti, the Pancharatras, etc., is mere sentimentalism, and it's nothing but a disturbance in the human society. So if you try to concoct your own system, which is not according to the authorities, the authoritative literatures and the great acharyas, it may seem very nice, but it's called Sahajism. And it doesn't actually bring you to the perfectional stage. It's like somebody made up a mantra, Nitai Gaur, what is that? Nitai Gaur, Radhe Sham, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. You know, there's so many things they concoct, thinking, well, this is good, so we'll make our own version. But we have to actually take as it's coming down from the authorities. That's how we have to take it. One time, Jayadvaita Swami, on a morning walk with Prabhupada in Mayapur, asked about all these different concocted mantras. Somebody made a concocted mantra, thinking, you know, Nittai Gaur, Nittai Gaur, Nittai, Nittai, Nittai Gaur. You know, Prabhupada did not like these concocted mantras. He said, although the name is powerful, he said we should sing what has been given by the acharyas, you see. So you want to sing these other names? It's very good. We have Jayavana Madhava, you see. You can go deep, deep, deep into Jayavana Mantra. You want to sing these other names like them that are very appealing to Krishna so you can have a special, you can attract Krishna in a very special way. Well, Jayavana Mantra is there. So be on time for Bhagavatam class. You know, so you can sing Jayavana Mantra and go deep, deep, deep. Prabhupada said it's a window to the spiritual world. So take advantage of these. We already have the facility to chant these special names. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janna Ballabha Girivara Dhari. We have full facility. So just come be there for Bhagavatam every day so you can sing Jai Radha Madhava every morning. Make it part of your day to chant Jai Radha Madhava, you see. Any other questions? Yeah.
Isn't Hare Krishna also we are saying with the name of the devotee, Hare Krishna?
Yes, Radharani, we are addressing this. Hare is the evocative form of Hara, Mother Hara, which is actually Radharani. So we're already doing that. We're calling to Radharani. And that when Krishna sees, we're calling out to Radharani. Then, that very much attracts him. Oh, they are calling to my beloved Radharani, you see. So we're already doing it, my chan, Hare Krishna mantra. We're already calling out. We're calling out to Radharani, which is very pleasing to Krishna. He sees we're calling out to Radharani. Anything else?
So there is no way that a person that don't know about all these mantras some different way.
So the people who do not know all this, what we are doing here, can they take some other name?
Yes, it's possible. We never say that Hare Krishna chanting is the only way. Our scriptures don't say that, nor do we say that. The scriptures prescribe, and in this age, that the names of God is the required method. The Karma Yoga system, the Jnana Yoga system, these systems are not effective in this age because of our short lifespan. In this age, to become self-realized, one has to utter the names of God. If you want to chant the Jesus prayer, that can be effective. If you want to chant the name of Buddha or Allah, those can be effective. If one does it and gives up sinful activities and chants any name of God, there's actually unlimited names of God. Lord Chaitanya confirmed that there are millions, thousands and millions of names of God, and they all have equal potency for liberating one. So we never say you have to chant Hare Krishna only. Although it is recommended in the Kali Santarana Upanishad that of all the unlimited names of God in this age, the Hare Krishna mantra is the most powerful mantra. So in the drugstore, there's many different medicines, and they're all good. But when you go there, which medicine do you get? What your doctor prescribed, you see. But that's the medicine that's most effective for you, what your doctor has prescribed. So in this age, the doctor has prescribed this Hare Krishna. We don't say the other medicines are not effective, but this is the most powerful, most targeted, most effective medicine for bringing you quickly to the perfectional stage in this age. Hare Krishna. And it works. I mean, you can say that you can try it. You can try chanting different things. I chanted so many things. I tried chanting Om, I tried doing this, I tried doing that. I went to a guru, he had me chant Aang, 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 Aang. You know, I did so many different things. But when I got to this Hare Krishna, it was different. It was like night and day. The difference was like night and day. It was like taking, like I told the Urban Yoga Center on Monday night, it was like Tuesday night, whatever it was, taking off on a magic carpet. I felt like I was going on a magic carpet ride when I'd sit down to chant Hare Krishna in the evening in my apartment, getting back from working in the men's handkerchiefs department in a downtown department store. I would come back and I would chant Hare Krishna. I was like, wow, it was amazing. Just taking off on some kind of a magic carpet, you know, going into higher dimensions beyond the mundane plane, you know, Hare Krishna. It was amazing what I've experienced. So I know I hadn't even met the devotees yet. It's not that, well, I got the devotees brainwashed me. I hadn't even met the devotees yet. Just some friend of mine who'd been in Haight-Ashbury, in Haight-Ashbury, the Hare Krishna mantra was very popular because the devotees were doing Hare Nam there all the time. They had the Prasadam distribution. Every hippie in Haight-Ashbury knew about Hare Krishna chanting. So I had a friend who was a hippie in Haight-Ashbury when the devotees were out there, and he came to Denver and he turned me onto the mantra. Some hippie friend turned me onto the mantra. And it was amazing when I started chanting. I didn't really know about the movement. I just knew this Hare Krishna was amazing. It had great power, like no other meditation technique I'd ever encountered. It had the greatest power to liberate me. I never experienced it. It was so powerful. So one can experience that just by doing it. Just by doing it. Yeah, with an open, you know, with an open-minded, open-hearted, okay, let me check this out. Let me go deep into Krishna consciousness and see what the result is. And if you do that, sir, I can guarantee you, you will find it to be strikingly wonderful. I guarantee you. You experiment, you take this with an open heart, you will be absolutely amazed. This is astounding. This is incredibly spectacular experience, Krishna consciousness. It's what the whole world is looking for. Actually, the whole world is looking for Krishna consciousness. They just don't realize it, you see. They're looking, everyone wants Krishna consciousness. They're just looking in the wrong places because they've been misled by the lying propaganda. Everybody actually wants Krishna consciousness, but they're looking in the wrong places for it. That's the problem. If you want it, you got to look in the right place. You have an unlimited stock of gold buried in your backyard, but you have to know where to dig. You see, Srila Vyasadeva is telling us exactly where to dig. He's giving us the shovel. What is that shovel? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So is that it? Everybody's ready to head out for a wonderful day of Krishna consciousness? Yes? All right. Have a great day, Prabhus and Manajis. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.